Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I'm your host, Julie DeMar, and this week I am here with special guest Harrison Marr. And you guys, most specifically guys who have been DMing me, emailing me, I have a mail here for you today. So you don't have to DM me about that anymore because I promised you I will work my hardest to bring the male perspective to the show, and here we are. So before I get all into me and everything that I like to ask about and talk about, I would love to just give Harrison the floor so he can introduce himself to you all today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be the male perspective on your beautiful show, Julie. I'm really grateful that I get to be here. I guess for people that are new to my voice, that hearing me for the first time, I do spend most of my time in this world working with individuals in the spiritual realm, specifically helping women and men expand their heart space and connect deeper into themselves so they can learn to share love out into the external world.
So how do you get there? Because before we get to this point of the journey, there was obviously something that was on the road behind us. So what did that look like for you?
So as everyone tuning in can probably resonate with, there's multiple stops along that path, right? But I've distilled it down into a couple different components for me as a individual. I grew up as a little boy that within this world was told his sensitivities, his emotions, his intuitive powers were a weakness, were seen as not manly, not masculine. So I spent a lot of my childhood suppressing that part of me. Then in my adolescence, my teen years, I went through sexual abuse, and that combined with the suppression I was already enacting produced a lot of pain in my life that I externalized out into the world through drugs, alcohol, women, experiences, etc. And fast forward to my mid-20s, I had another painful experience in which I was deported and detained from the US. And all of this culminated into a moment of, okay, there's nowhere else to turn but going inside of myself, specifically connecting to my heart and asking the question, okay, now what?
That's the most important question to ask, to start with, I should say. And I talk about that often on the show, is how important it is to like stop and ask yourself, what do I need? What's going on? Why am I here? Things like that. Even who am I? That was a question that was asked to me, and it like shut me down for weeks. Like, what was that? What do you mean? Who am I? Like me? But I think like that's the best starting point ever. Like
it really is, Julie. Like, I just want to underline that. I was on a podcast a couple of days ago, and the lovely gentleman that I was with, his name is George, he asked me a question along the lines of, what do you think is the challenge with our generation? And I said a lot of things, but one of the biggest things I replied was what you just said. I said, as individuals, we're not just not asking that question. When we do ask it, we're not getting to the deeper layers of what that answer actually is.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask you that question? Let's deviate from the script a little bit. And can I ask you, who are you?
Let's do it. Previously, right, in my teens and early 20s, I would have gave you a lot of different answers, right? I would have given you a lot of what I would describe now as ego identities, right? The man with the X amount of countries he visited, or the man with the certain amount of lovers, or the man that did this thing with his muscles. All of these, you know, I hold no judgment, but all of these ego stories of who I thought I was. When I reflect on that question now, one, there's less noise, there's less going on in my head, and there's more going on in my heart, more going on in the middle, in the center of me. So when I answer that question, there isn't a thought that comes up. There's more of a feeling that arises within me.
Can I share with you?
Please.
For me, what it ended up becoming for me.
Please.
So I just embrace the fact that I'm an imperfect human. And like, I'm just a person, and I'm super flawed, and I'm learning through all of my beautiful mistakes and really cool with embracing who I am completely naked. I'm not ashamed anymore of what I am or who I am. I'm proud of everything that I am. And it took me a long time to answer that question, but that is my answer to that question. That is what I, as I became, as I started to grow, that is where I've landed. And I'm pretty sure as I continue down this path, I'm gonna hit some more spots. But today, that's where I'm sitting.
I love it. I love it,
Right.
Julian. I'm getting goosebumps
Really?
because I'm sure we'll get deeper into this and we'll speak more about different aspects of that question. But there's an affirmation that I share with my clients when we start doing this kind of consciousness, spiritual love work. And the affirmation is very simple. It's, I am all that I am. I am all that I am. And one of the powerful points of that affirmation is a radical acceptance that I love, I appreciate, I bring awareness to everything that I am here in this moment. And everything includes the beautiful parts of me that I find joy and love and pleasure around. And most importantly, the shadowy parts that maybe I haven't accepted yet, maybe that still feel painful and difficult. I accept and embrace all of it.
It's really free to be in that space, isn't it? Like once you start getting there, 'cause then all of the things that are really noisy, they start to like disappear. They really do. 'Cause yeah, like the societal standards and the people in your life, family, friends, whoever, who believe, oh, you should be doing this, or why are you doing that, or what is that? I have been deemed, I have a lot of nicknames. Mother Love, that's my favorite. Peace and Incense, that's another one. Like just, like little things that people say about me because I'm entering into these spaces and I like to talk about it. I don't care. I'm like, I fully embrace it because I'm like, if you only knew like the freedom I feel, even on the days that are super challenging and like they get things get challenging. Okay. I got two small kids. I got a husband. I got a dog. We got a lot going on all the time. It can get rough, but you can imagine like just close your eyes and you'll be like, okay. Even through all of that, I still really just like embrace the messiness of it all, love it all because I am the shit because of it.
I am the shit.
Yes.
I might have to take that as a t-shirt, Julie, and start making that as a branded t-shirt. I am the shit.
Just underneath, make sure you hashtag selective hearing so people know where it came from. Signature
100%.
selective
100%.
hearing.
100%. And joking aside, Julie, I just want to make this very clear for people listening. You said that this attitude brings up a sense of peace in you. And that's not a coincidence, right? That's not a Julie thing. Another way of describing what you're saying is you're treating yourself with unconditional love, right? You're unconditionally accepting and embracing all of what makes Julie, as you said, messy in this moment. When you approach yourself with an unconditional consciousness, now you're getting to the deeper layers of what the answer to that question is, who am I? It's a whole thing, but one of the attributes of what you actually are is unconditional. The power that you hold inside of you is unconditional in nature. So when you approach yourself with that nature, a symptom of that is you start emitting more of what you actually are.
So true. So let's talk about for those who may not understand when you say you help people embrace the spiritual side of them, can you like define that?
Well, I mean, how people are feeling listening to the episode so far, but we're already doing it, right? Like this conversation that we've just started having, we're in it already. So I just, when I say I help people connect into their spiritual love and their spiritual heart space, it's really getting to deeper conversations like this. But to say it from another angle, a big part of the work I do in the world is helping people to understand not just what they are, but once they remember what they are, how to then express and share and emit that out into the world, right? Because it's one thing to feel powerful and feel connected to yourself and feel in love with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other thing to then step out into the world and share that, whether it be manifesting a relationship, whether it be through the work and the passions that you have, whether it be, you know, healing and supporting yourself and others. That's the step that most of us aren't taking. So a lot of my work has to do around that.
I think a lot of us don't take it because of fear. Is it safe to say that? That's just my opinion.
You're on a roll, Julie. You're on a roll. Yes.
I know I was scared to not just admit that I had a mess going on, but like to look at where the mess came from. And to like have to move through that space of hurt. I know, well, for me, I was really good at stuffing and exploding. Stuffing and exploding. And I'm like, I had two kids to get to 115 pounds. So you can imagine how small I was before kids. And I was like the feistiest, most fighter. Just, I fought with my hands. I fought with my words. I was just very reactive. And there was just so much that contributed to that. But I was so afraid to address those reasons, to address everything that helped me establish those patterns. And then I was even more afraid to talk about it because I had this fear of, gosh, okay, how am I going to put this? It's there, but I want to make sure that I let everyone listening today understand fully what this is, especially in case they can relate. I had a fear of harming the people who harmed me. So I never wanted to speak about the things that led to me making the choices I was making as an adult, because I had a great fear of not only the address, but of what that would look like for them.
Yeah.
And now I live in a space, and we can even talk about how you can get to these kind of things, how you can kind of graduate there. But I now live in a space where I one day was like, why am I protecting people who did not protect me? And if I asked them to today, would not protect me. Like, I'm still placing them above myself. And I can't do that anymore if I want to. And my huge thing is break generational trauma cycles so that my sons don't end up repeating the things that I did. So not only do I talk about it so other people can, you know, heal and I can help them, but I'm helping myself and I'm helping my kids. Because the last thing I want is my sons to be repeating these patterns in their own way, because that's all I did. So, yeah, let's talk about it.
Well, let's tune into which part of this we want to talk about, because there's so many, you just said so many juicy things, Julie. I just want to point that out, especially the ancestral healing part. That's a big theme of the work I do. I call it stepping into the ancestral breaker of chains, because it is so powerful, right? But I want to sort of step back from that. I'm trying to find a quote here to share with you so I can speak it correctly, from Neville Goddard. Neville Goddard, I'll paraphrase it, says that we're all living in, like, as I speak to you right now here, Julie, I'm seeing you through a reality and a story that I've created, and placing you in a reality and story that is different to the one that you're playing and placing on yourself, and both aren't real. So I'll just say that again. I'm projecting a perception of Julie onto you, while at the same time, you're creating a perception of yourself that you think you are. And we're living in this, in these two false layers of reality that aren't actually real. I share that to really highlight here the layers of illusion that we're all getting lost in that lead to that four-letter word that you spoke about at the start, the fear. Okay. Whether it's ancestral, whether it's an inner child wound, whether it's from my teenage years, whether it's from wherever, all of these pains, these past traumas and challenges that keep us in fear, They're triggered in any given moment, especially when we use our voice or we're connecting to our children or we're speaking out on stage or wherever in our business. They're triggered up in the moment. And often in that moment, we become that reality, right? We become that fear. Why this is significant and important to understand, we will always have a choice. We will always have a choice whether or not we think we are the fear and we stay within it. We stay within the emotion. We stay within the illusion of the story it's creating. Or, and this is where I like to live, we step through it. We step beyond it. We integrate it. We heal it. The word that I like to use, we start to love it. That's the biggest answer to your experience, Julie. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
I'm just taking it in.
Can I give you an example? Because you mentioned ancestral healing. You mentioned these ancestral traumas and patterns that you want to become the breaker of chains of so you don't pass it on to your beautiful children. They often come up, as I've seen in my life, when we're interacting with said ancestors or our children. So whether I'm talking to children in my life or I'm speaking to my ancestors, that being my parents that are alive, these ancestral wounds, that's when they're activated, right? They're triggered in those moments. So in those examples, so let's say I'll use an example of my life. Let's say I'm speaking to my beautiful father and we're having a conversation. And in that conversation, it maybe gets a little bit heated. And I notice some of these old patterns within the family arising in that moment, maybe around guilt or shame or anger. I have two choices in that moment. One, I allow that story and or emotion to become me, right? And we've all had this experience. We've all been in this place, right? What's most likely going to happen in that place? We're going to react. We're going to lash out. We're going to close. We're going to turn away. We're going to run away. Like all these fear responses. That's choice one. Choice two, again, where I like to live, we start to love and embrace and accept everything that's moving through us in that moment. So whatever the story is, whatever the emotion is, whatever the feeling is, I use the affirmation, what would love to give me inspiration. So in that moment, a love choice we can make, and this is what I often do, is you take a breath, you breathe, and you give permission. You accept that emotion. You observe that story of unworthiness. I'm unlovable. I'm not enough. Whatever is playing. And then you take a step from there.
I have dealt with self-talk, because that just made me think about how that is, how our inner voice is the loudest voice. I actually gave my inner critic or inner mean girl, you know, all the names we have, I pulled her out and gave her a name. And I named her Monica. And that's how I address her when she comes to play. And I have like a whole little bit with Monica when she rises, because that's usually where it starts with me. It rises and then it's like rah. Just like that. It's like ready, set, go. So I even there's days where I know my kids be like, "What is mommy doing?" Where like, you know, kids are triggering. It's like I asked them like 7,000 times, like, "Don't hit your brother. Please have a seat, do this." And then I'm in the kitchen, like before I take it to where it would go with me when I was a kid. It's like if Monica shows up, like, you know, whatever she'd say, like, you know, your mom would never let you, or your dad would have been got that ass, you know, something like that. You know, like I'm always like, oh no, girl, not today. What was that? I got this. And like my kids, who are you talking to, mom? And I'm like, no, mommy's, you know, mommy's working something out. It's all good. And they're like, okay. But I'm really talking to Monica and letting Monica know, like, have a seat. And actually, I just finished writing a book about her. So
I love it.
I comprise like a bunch of self-talk monologues, and they're Monica's monologues. And it's basically a day in a life where it's real stories that I journaled about where I've let Monica take over and what that looks like. And I turned it into kind of like a four act play, if you will. And it's just like that. It's literally that tug of war that you go through when you let those things you're talking about win.
Yeah, this tool that you've just outlined, I just want to make this very clear for people that maybe missed it for some reason. This labeling of the unhealthy ego is what I would describe it, right? Monica, in this example, is the unhealthy ego that we can get lost in times of triggers and these past pains coming up. This tool of, there's two paths to it that are very important. One, the labeling of it, as you did, the labeling helps us become the observer, helps us connect into, once again, our truest nature. And part of that truest nature is the observer. We become the observer of the things moving through us. But the second part, and I picked this up when you said, I got this, Monica, is learning to love the ego. Because, and this is a problem, a bigger problem I see at large in the spiritual community, is there's a lot of talk around killing the ego or transcending the ego or putting the ego in a corner. And yes, that may work in the short term, but what are we doing really when we do that? We're starting to suppress and ignore and push away a part of us that deserves just as much love as any other part of us. So I just want to make that very clear for people that resonate with your beautiful technique.
Yeah, I love her. She just gets on my nerves, you know? Oh my gosh, like I had all these beautiful questions for you, but like we, as
We're
you said,
dancing.
yeah,
We're
as you
dancing.
said, we were gonna dance. I'm loving it. I'm gonna circle back to some of the questions I wrote for you. We touched base on it early in the conversation about you as a child not really being able to express your emotions. And that is one thing that I hear from men a lot, you know, the identity or the false narrative that was like placed on them as a child, like you're a big boy, boys don't cry,
Suck
or
it up.
yeah, things of that nature. And I shared with you in the pre-interview, like I believe like the greatest strength in a man is a man being able to express his emotions in a healthy way. That is the strongest, most attractive quality that a man can have, because so much stems from a man possessing a emotional intelligence. I would like you to speak about that.
One of my favorite topics to
Okay.
speak about. It's funny, I was watching, have you seen the movie Jumanji? I'm sure you've seen Jumanji.
Yeah.
Yes, one of
Yes.
my favorite, top 10 favorite movies of all time. And actually, I was rewatching it, I think last week or the week before. And there's a moment in it, I don't know if you remember this scene, where the little boy was, he's becoming a monkey. He's turning into a monkey at the end of the scene, and he's crying. He's crying because he's upset about this distress and this transformation that's occurring. The main character turns to the little boy and says, suck it up, be a man, hold it together. And it's a simple example, but it shows a characteristic of a larger systemic problem that you highlighted, that as men, we're programmed, and I would even say indoctrinated, to think that our divine feminine, and I will make this very clear, whether you're in a masculine body or a male or a female body, we both have the divine masculine and the divine feminine. So as physical men, we're taught that our divine feminine is a weakness. So when we express the emotion, our emotion, we have tears, the water element of the feminine, right? When that's moving through us, we're taught that that's weak, right? That's unmanly. That's, you're broken even. And it's here we must stand strong. And we must remember that our emotions are divine, right? I actually teach that our emotions actually come from the divine, right? They're communication. Emotion is energy in motion. Where is that energy coming from, right? So every this human experience, whether we're female or a male, is we're here to experience through emotion, through feeling. So as a man, the extent in which I suppress and ignore my emotions and my feelings is the same extent I detach myself from reality. I want to make sure everyone heard that. I want that to sink in.
And we see it. Oh my gosh. And to me, it's absolutely heartbreaking, especially now living in this space. When I was younger, this stereotypical bad guy who was closed off with no emotions, who treated you wrong. That was the definition of a man. Even I'll take it a step further to how I grew up. I saw a lot of married people, but I never saw healthy relationships between the men and women in my life. It was strictly a man provides financially, and then the woman, even if she worked or not, still carried so much weight that she was just always operating in a state of burnout and resentment and all of these other negative things. And I never saw true support with partners. And so I even have talked about that before too. Like when you don't, and I said this, when you don't have a healthy, this is for me, but I said when you don't have a healthy relationship model before you, then you create the perfect relationship in your head based on what you think a relationship should be. And then you often end up in a dysfunctional relationship as a result of all those things.
And that relationship that you create from your head is everything that you've obtained from the outside world. So if you've, as an example, like me, you grew up watching a lot of TV and TV shows and movies, right? You then create this even more false relationship based off programs of the collective. And I don't need to explain this for people listening how dysfunctional that can start to be, right? So this all comes back, ties back to, one of your first questions about who are you? Who am I? When we start to apply that question and answer to a relationship context, we now start to actually connect into, what does it mean if I, Harrison, am connecting into my heart, into my divine being? Okay. If that divine being speaks through emotions and feelings and sensations, then how does that translate into a relationship? Well, to me, that translates into health. That translates into communication. That translates to feeling and empathy and compassion and love.
Wow, I'm loving this conversation so much though. Like, I knew I would. I was told that I would. Like, when Leah and I were talking, she was like, yeah, definitely you two are gonna have an amazing episode together. Okay, so let's get into some of these things that I know the men want to hear about. Okay, so when you do decide to take this journey and when you do embrace the fact that being in your feelings is okay. It's absolutely okay. It's highly recommended. Have you faced, when you did that, any pushback, or did you have anyone, take those little jabs at you? And how did you handle that? How would you encourage other people to express their emotions in
Ooh,
this?
good question. So I'll start by saying the deeper you go into yourself, in this example, the deeper you go into your feelings and emotions and sensitivities, the more sensitive you become to the outside world. And in that journey, we must learn to understand that one, that's okay and that's normal. But two, it means that your conversations and your relationships are probably about to get more triggering. Are probably about to get more heated because as your light starts to expand through your acceptance of your beautiful emotions and sensitivities, the darkness and the shadows and the repressed sides of other people, they're pulled to that light, right? They're pulled to the light like a moth is to the lamp, right? So, one, it's understanding that that's a tool in itself, an awareness around. You're not broken. You're not overly emotional. You're not too sensitive. You're not none of that. You're completely, in my opinion, healthy and on your way. Practically, what's needed here after that is one word. One word that starts with B. What do you think that word is?
The first word that popped in my head is become, and probably because that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Like I always say, become who you were intended to be from creation. That is the my most favorite thing to tell people is embrace it and become it.
That's a good bloody answer.
Look.
And so I would say that and boundaries. Right? Like we think that this spiritual journey or this emotional journey, we think we need to be on, like you talked about burnout earlier. We assume that we have to be on all the time, we have to be talking to everyone all the time, we have to be with our family all the time, we have to be connecting to these relationships all the time and doing all the stuff. And yes, communication, interaction, intimacy with other people, family, lovers, etc., that's all a part of it. And you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't fill up other people and help them activate their light in any context, any relationship, unless your light is full, unless your light is expanding. So a simple answer here is learning to get better with your boundaries.
And I've said this here before, and I'll say it again because it just feels like the perfect moment since boundaries is on the table. No is a complete sentence.
Yes.
Like,
Yeah.
just hit, if you don't have anything, and especially if you're really uncomfortable and anxious, and you're, I found when I first started putting boundaries in place, it was a really like uncomfortable space to be in. And it was because I never had boundaries with myself. Other people never had boundaries with me. So I didn't really know how to navigate those waters. So I was just like straight face, no. Not no but, not no and, not no let me explain, just no and walk off.
Yeah.
That's all you need. I heard something recently too that made me think about this because a lot of people, and it was said so poetically, I wish I would have saved it. I'm gonna paraphrase and slightly butcher. Hopefully you guys get where I'm going with this though. The gentleman said, oh my gosh, people often confuse emotional intelligence for articulation. And sometimes the simplest things that we say are direct expressions of our
Yes.
emotional intelligence, but people don't see it that way because they
Yes.
expect this big, grand, well-delivered
Yes.
response.
Ooh, I love this.
I
Yeah.
do too. I was like,
Yeah.
what? Yes. And
Yeah.
then that was like, no. When I, that's all I could do because I couldn't articulate the way that I felt, but I
Yes.
felt what I felt.
Yes.
No was good enough. That just
Yes.
affirmed that in so many
Ooh.
ways when I heard that, like,
Yeah, let's go down this path. Something else to consider here with this setting of the boundaries and being emotional. And this also ties back to some more tips and practices, but for not just men, for anyone that's listening, in terms of how to really embrace your emotional sensitivity and your emotional power, is realizing that when you have these emotions coming up, most of us have suppressed them for a very long time. Most of us have ignored them for a very long time because of all the programs that we talked about. Whether you're a man or a woman, when they come up in the moment, often with a lover, a family member, a friend, they're not coming up casually. They're not just coming up softly and very gracefully. No. How are they coming up? They're coming up with this burst of momentum. This is where we can really learn to have grace for ourselves and realize it's okay in the moment, those emotions to feel like they're a lot because we've been ignoring them for such a long time. What's not okay is to judge ourselves for that. What's not okay is to think we need to be anything else than what we actually are in that moment. So a simple no, like you said, it can be a way to sort of move through this, but also remembering some techniques of how to self-soothe and self-regulate, such as the breath, right? Connecting into the body, feeling your feet on the ground so you feel supported, so the emotion can actually move through you.
yeah, don't trap that energy in your body. Oh my gosh. And that's exactly, especially the more you grow and you start acknowledging it, you the releasing of it is so you'll just start doing it eventually because like you won't want to keep that in your body. Like
Yes.
I know even now when I kind of backslide in the old practices, and I have like those moments, and then I leave things in me, it disrupts everything. And now I'm
Yes.
so situationally aware where it's like,
Yes.
oh my gosh, I didn't sleep last night because I didn't let that go. And I didn't, and
Yes.
I don't bully myself about it, but I like, I take note, like, okay, so let's not do that again.
Yeah.
Like,
My one of my favorite books that I'll recommend to you and your listeners, actually two books I'm going to share. One is The Body Keeps Score by Bessel van der Kolk. The Body Keeps Score by Bessel van der Kolk. And second one is When the Body Says No by Gabor Mate. Both of these resources highlight the significance of the link between our emotional reality, in this case, our traumas and challenges from the past that have stored, that we've ignored and suppressed, like you're saying, what's keeping you up, right? And how our body responds to that choice, right? And how ideally we actually want to use the body, feel into the body, allow the emotions to move through us so we can actually heal, so we can move on, so we can transform it.
That is like a whole nother, we'll be here for another hour. And maybe we need to do that one day, because then that is like getting into like new things that I'm learning about as far as like how our emotions and our trauma manifest into disease in our body.
Yes.
But people, I won't give you too much tonight, but that is definitely something I think like we can definitely vibe on.
We can definitely have another episode on that, because it's, I want to underline it, it's so important for people to understand, right? I'm going to make a very controversial topic, and then we can talk about some other stuff, and we can leave it as like a cliffhanger for that episode, right? I would assert that every disease, every, I'm using my fingers here, every physical ailment, cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, whatever you can imagine, has an emotional, energetic, spiritual foundation. And if we can start to walk down this path and understanding of what that link is, especially through the body, then we can start to find solutions individually to move through those things.
Somebody, oh gosh, what did she say to me? She said, shut up, your body is listening. Like, that is like, that is just how it was put. Shut up, your body is listening. And like, yeah, it's that simple. Like, everything that you say, everything that you think, everything manifests in your body into other things.
Yeah. To be continued.
To be continued, everyone. I would like to, before we wrap up, get into a couple of things about some misconceptions about what masculinity should look like. And I know we touched on it. Stop crying, you're a boy, suck it up, be a man. I kind of want to know, of those things, what would you like to debunk today?
Well, I'm going to debunk the perception that masculinity has to come by itself, right? Meaning that I'm only masculine when I'm showing masculine traits, right? When I'm showing hard, strong structure, foundation, right? Ticking the boxes, getting stuff done. I would assert that all of these are masculine traits. What I want to add in here is they're both two sides of the same coin. So the more masculine we can be, it's an invitation for our feminine to flow. So I'm gonna give the example here just so people can conceptualize this in their heads. This conversation that we're having on this podcast right now, right? Julie, you've done a very good job thus far actually balancing both, right? You have the masculine structure of the time limit, the questions you want to ask, right? The structure of the different ways you're going to ask them. But then what are we feeling in between all of that structure, in between all of that masculinity? We're feeling the beautiful, intuitive, feminine flow of, oh, this feels good right now to ask. This feels, I want to go this direction. I want to open to receive this expression right now from Harrison. That's not a Julie thing. That's not a Harrison thing. What you're doing is you're balancing, you're harmonizing, you're allowing both to be present. So just to answer your question here, there's a myth around I'm only masculine when I'm just in my masculine. And I think that's half the equation. I think we all deserve, and this will depend on the situation, obviously, but we all deserve to show up if it's a masculine is required, but add in that beautiful feminine aspect as well.
Oh, I agree so much. That was like the perfect answer. And I didn't even look at myself like that, like in this, and when I do this, like I do, I just, yeah, I have been just flowing with it. Like, it helps too, like when you're connected, like when you find a connection in the person, because I've had interviews, like I feel like all my interviews are really good interviews, but I feel like there's just that different thing when you like connect with a person in the conversation and it starts doing that whole little, like you said, dance. It just adds that little bit of to it, you know?
Yeah, which you just answered, you just given another example of, what's a myth we can bust around masculinity. What I show up as reflects out into the world. What Julie shows up as reflects out into the world. So when I make the intentional choice as Harrison to show up as a male with an open heart in my feminine and my masculine at the same time, that's where connection comes from, Julie. I'm magnetizing, right? I'm reflecting harmony and balance. So when you step into my field, you not only feel that from me, you also feel the permission I'm giving you to also do that yourself. And that's where connection comes from.
And people, that is why you have to connect with Harrison so that you can get into yourself and get help with your relationships, with yourself, with your friends, with your family, with your spouse, whoever. Because look, he just became my bestie tonight. So I know you want him to be yours.
Thank you, Julie.
You're
I
so
appreciate it.
welcome.
I receive
Yeah, I'm glad because you are my bestie. You can't go now. And all my besties are stuck with me. And before we go, let's talk about the balance of expectations from societal norms and you still needing to fully embrace your authentic self-expression.
Ooh. I swear, all of these questions tonight, Julie, are all separate little conversations we could have much deeper chats around, but I will try and my best to succinctly answer this. So, to me, this is a conversation around connecting back to something we talked about earlier of remembering what you are, right? That powerful, divine, spiritual being that is here in the 3D form as a human. As a beautiful, messy human, as you said, to show up uniquely, right? That's what I think I feel is one of our purposes for being, to reconnect to what we are, divine, powerful, all-knowing, all creative, and then expressing that uniquely as the unique version that we are. So when we are balancing that authentic state, which I would call that connected to the divine state that's inside of us, the eternal soul, and societal expectations and norms, it's not one or the other. This is not an or conversation. This is an and conversation. So, what I mean by this is let's take Julie, I'll use you as an example. For Julie to be truly authentic and to show up as the brightest, most loving version of you, it doesn't mean Julie has to push away her identity as the mum or push away her identity as the podcast producer or to push away anything else that is valuable to you. What it does mean is one, you never get lost in the illusion that that's all that you are. You're not just the mum, you're not just the podcast producer, you're not just any other expectation or societal mask. You don't get lost in that. You remember what you actually are, the divine being that is limitless, unbounded, full of unlimited love. And two, you then project that through the mask, right? Through the mask of the mum, instead of Julie thinking that that's all that she is, she shows up as the mum, but shows up as the mum that is projecting that divine power, right? Shows up for her children, her beautiful children, knowing what she is, knowing that she's unlimited, she's unbounded. She has all of the love to give the world. And right now, she's making the choice to project that through the mum Mask.
I hope all my mommy listeners out there listen to that and replace my name with theirs and take that, because that now that's a conversation. Mothers losing their identities, and that's something for a day. Okay. And I know you're going to give me a beautiful answer, so I can't wait to ask you my big show question. I'm pretty sure the listeners want to hear it too. So every episode before I close my show, I ask every single guest to define selective hearing for themselves.
I would actually connect selective hearing to one of those trauma responses or those trauma triggers that we talked about, whether they're ancestral, whether they're inner child, whatever it is. If I'm in a selective hearing wound or mask or pain, it's often because there's something in me that's in fear, right? That's in pain, that's in some kind of past suffering, whether it be around childhood or something further back. So selective hearing, when I sort of connect into it, it's another part of us that needs our awareness, that needs our attention, but doesn't need judgment, doesn't need shame, doesn't need guilt, doesn't need some kind of extra heaviness. It needs acceptance, it needs love, and it needs an openness to transform, to alchemize into something more.
Okay, Harrison, before I keep you for a whole nother hour, can you share with the listeners how they can connect with you and reach out to you for questions or help along the way with their journey?
Well, before I do, Julie, I just want to honor you and this beautiful space you've created for us to dance tonight. I was joking with you before we started the recording that the mum version of you that I saw when we had our pre-chat versus the you now, I feel the same essence, but just the way that you decided to show up for this chat and conversation and then just flow and move with me, it allows me to shine my light. It allows me to stand in my power. So I just want to honor you and share my gratitude for all that you are.
Thank you. Yeah, that just lit me up inside. Thank you. Everybody, I literally I've been mom with the messy bun and everything all day. And I was like, 6 o'clock, do it, set up the lights. We got this. Cause like by the end of the day, your energy starts, And so as I'm doing my makeup, I give myself like the you got this girl, the pickup talk, like, and that's how I came through.
You transformed, right?
Back.
And that's an example of what we've been talking about, of this, your divine nature is unlimited, right? So whatever you're doing in the world, mum, worker, whatever it is, like, it's when we get lost in thinking that's just what we are, I'm just the mum, then of course we're gonna not have the energy. Of course we're gonna go to bed early because we think that's just what we are. But Julie remembered. She's the mum, but she's more than the mum. So I just thank you for all of that, Julie. But I want to answer your question. So for people who want to connect to me, want to go deeper with all that I am, there are a couple ways to do that. First of all, social media. I'm on most platforms at Harrison Maher. That's Maher spelled MEAGHER. I also have a website, harrisonmaher.org. You can reach out to me for coaching and other exciting things I have going on in the world. I also have my own podcast called The Cosmic Love Antenna. So if you enjoy this kind of emotional, spiritual conversation, then I've got 200 plus episodes for you to soak up and enjoy. And then finally, we've spoken a lot about today, connecting into this divine nature and then expressing your love with the world in all the different ways. I have a book called Your Cosmic Love Antenna, Define, Embody, and Emit Your Unique Frequency of Love. And it's a very practical way for you to start doing this. And you can find that on Amazon, wherever you are in the world.
And everyone, all of this information will be in the show notes as always. And I'm telling you again that you need to go to selectivehearingshow.com and click on my resource page, and you can find Harrison's information there too. All you have to do is click the button and you will go directly to his website and you can ask him all of the questions that you need. So, Harrison, again, thank you for being with me tonight. And everyone else, until next time, this is Selective Hearing.